I've said often to people I've coached one-on-one, to myself, and to the groups I work with. Sometimes I train sales teams, leadership teams. Sometimes I do mastermind groups. And sometimes I do huge groups. Doesn't matter. I've said often that worry, WORRY, is a misuse of the imagination. Worry is a misuse of the imagination. Imagination is really a money-making machine. It's a wealth-producing, prosperity-inducing machine, imagination. It's in there, in the brain, to create with. The imagination was given to us so we could create. And yet, we use it, misuse it, to project worst-case scenarios all day. So, in other words, let's say we have a projector in a movie theater, and we're supposed to show uplifting, happy family films and musicals and wonderful, inspiring movies. And instead, we're showing the most depressing, scary, dark, awful movies anyone's ever seen. Those are the two different uses of the imagination. The imagination is used to project on the screen possible movies for you to star in. That's what it's for. And yet it's being used quite often, most often with people in a fear-based society, which ours is, to project worst-case scenarios and pictures of what I dread and hope never happen. So here's the way we feed this thing. We feed this thing through watching the news, watching the media, and watching worst-case movies, disasters, and things like that. And pretty soon the imagination gets really swept up in being good at doing worst-case scenarios instead of making movies designed to visualize and make plans and create strategies and action plans for producing wealth, having a good career and livelihood. Once we can see that we've been misusing our imagination all this time, we can begin the practice and the habit of using it to picture what we want, to create visions, and to see what's out there that we would really love to do. And the more we use it that way, the more that becomes habitual and useful, and that's what we start waking up into. You hear people say, "I took a shower and got a great idea," or, "I went on vacation and sat on the beach and got a great idea." And that's because this whole use of the imagination to get great ideas, that's what it's there for. That's why the worst-case scenario thing has always been a misuse. And when you relax totally in the shower, you're washing yourself so the left brain is occupied with keeping you standing up so you don't fall, with washing yourself and rinsing yourself. So the left brain has something to do. Now the right brain is just freed up. And because you're acting using left and right sides of the body, the right brain is free now to be its primary intended self, which is to picture best-case scenarios and brand new ideas that arrive. My best ideas come when I'm taking a shower. That's because I've relaxed into my imagination's primary, original, designed purpose to give me money-making ideas, to give me ideas that lead to my one true good life of service, in other words. A lot of people, when you say money making, they get shivers and they get all upset because they have so much emotion and heartbreak and bitterness and disappointment around the whole idea of money that you can't even talk to them. So let's just say inspirational, strong service and product ideas. Now people are talking. Now people are saying, "Yeah, good, I want to talk about that." Because they know intuitively, if they do those things and figure out wildly creative ways to serve others, that the money just arrives. It always does, and you don't have to worry about it. So it's really important to understand the nature of worry. Worry is not the same as concern. Worry is certainly not the same as caring. Worry is not a function of caution. Worry is not responsible behavior. Worrying stops the flow of energy, creativity, and innovation. Therefore, worrying actually reduces the effectiveness of someone who worries. So, for example, if you're always worried about money, then your effectiveness in saving money and producing money is reduced by the worry. I mean, it sounds cruel. It sounds like the universe ought to reward people who worry a lot about money, but the opposite happens. Actually, the universe wants you to be punished or at least see the consequence of worrying about money so that you'll stop. Worrying is habitual after a while. People begin to worry about things and then the mind gets in that rut. It gets in that track. And it's funny how your mind just goes where it went yesterday and the day before if you leave it alone. And it starts worrying again. You wake up, I'm worried about my mother, and you're worried again. Do I have to put her in a home? You're worried again. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. I'm worried about my house. Will I have to repair it? Will it cost me money? I'm worried about my kids. Do I have to put them in a different kind of school? So I'm worried about money. And it becomes habitual. People don't worry because they care about something deeply. They worry because they worry. They worry because they worried yesterday and the day before. So the worrying is occurring not in response to the seriousness of situations. The worrying occurs because of previous worrying. And that's hard for people to see because they believe in an outside-in world. They believe that whatever it is they're doing, including worrying, is occurring because of something outside of them. The economy, this is happening, crime, my brother-in-law is going to move in with us, and I'm really worried. So worry is occurring because of some outside event beyond my control, and worry is simply a natural response to that. If that's my belief system, how can I now then proceed to use my imagination for other things, such as producing prosperity for myself and financial freedom? How can I do it? Because my imagination has already been occupied by habitual worrying. I mean, I wake up and it's already taken over. Sorry, seat's already filled. It's already occupied with habitual worry. And because that's so, when I look at various ways to make money and create wealth, they look impossible to execute. And I doubt my ability to do it. Why do I doubt my ability? Well, I somehow sense that it will take imagination. And I also somehow sense that this imagination of mine is already spoken for. It's already occupied by worry. What I want to learn to do is to clear the house, send the worry home, and bring in the warrior thoughts. And by warrior, I mean the thoughts of building a skill, dying before going into battle, becoming very good, using my sword in a beautiful artistic way. All those things that have my self-esteem returned to me and have the world be nothing but opportunity. Pure opportunity is how I see the world when I'm in the warrior mindset. But when I'm in the worrier mindset, I see the world as a threat, purely threatening options. All right, now if I'm going to shift from a wealth worrier to a wealth warrior, then I want to see that it begins with a warrior mindset. A warrior goes into battle really trained. And so rather than battle, let's think of the battle as a game. The worldwide market, the global marketplace, free enterprise, serving others, the exchange of money. This is the game we're entering into. And I want to enter this game with a warrior's mindset, because that suggests so many good things to me. Number one, it suggests commitment. What do I want to commit to as far as my skill level as someone who creates wealth? So let me give you an example. In our coaching prosperity school, one of the disciplines that we stress is the discipline of becoming a great coach. That's the most important discipline in making money as a coach, because the better you are, the more referrals you'll get, the more people will talk about your services, the more people will want to pay you, and everything gets better financially based on growing your skills and growing your strength and power inside that profession. And that comes from a commitment to spend a large part of my day doing that instead of just being distracted and being pulled off the path. That's commitment, and that's warrior-like. Another thing is that the warrior isn't afraid to train, to take lots of seminars and workshops in his or her profession, to read books about his or her profession, to constantly train and get better. That's a warrior mindset. Now, here's another part of the mindset that I think is really important. To play the game as if it were a game, but to also play it almost as if your life depended on it. That's playing the game full out. That's the kind of game we love to watch being played in sports, which is why everyone loves the Olympics and everyone loves the playoffs. Sometimes people wait a whole season just to watch the playoffs or the final tournament in basketball, because they know the players are going to be playing full out. They're going to be playing as if their life depended on the game. And that's fun to watch when people are giving their all. That's a beautiful thing to see. But we could do that too with the wealth warrior mindset. As if this is the playoffs. As if we live life as if this is the playoffs. And here's another thing about the warrior mindset and the warrior approach. There's a physical aspect to this that ought not to be ignored. The physical part of creating wealth. And most people don't think of that. They think, oh, it's all a mind game and how clever you are, whether you can outwit the market. That's not really true. It's your own level of energy and service and strength that works. And the body often goes first and leads the mind. And people often increase their wealth when they take on a physical activity. They're training for an Ironman, or they start working out, or they start doing yoga, or they start running or dancing or doing something. They find that the brain wakes up to the degree that the body does. So it's so important to have a physical aspect. For the last 10 or 20 years, whenever I put a financial goal on my whiteboard, let's say in the next 4 months I want to earn a certain amount of money, I'll always create a physical equivalent. Because when I create a physical equivalent, no matter what it is, I'm going to go to the gym a certain amount of times, I'm going to wear my pedometer, and I'm going to average 10, 11,000 steps a day. Whatever I do as a physical parallel goal to my wealth goal, the wealth goal is hit faster. It's more reliable for me. Now, a lot of people would think, well, wait a minute, that physical goal of yours, wouldn't that take a lot of time when you should be focusing on making money? Wouldn't that take time away? But actually, it doesn't. It actually produces more energy. It produces a greater ability to focus, more mental alertness, and greater well-being. A greater sense of good mood and good spirits and lively spirits that happen after you've gone for a good run or a swim or played a game of basketball. Your mind's actually in better shape to serve and create the relationships you want that will lead to making money. So the physical aspect is the part of warrior that I really like. When people become a wealth warrior and they take it on, they also introduce a physical component that goes along with it, like training before going to the Olympics and training the body so that the mind will follow. It's a proven biological fact now that the more the body is moved, the greater the mind gets on levels of energy, focus, mental alertness. So it's a very good metaphor, and it's a very good picture to hold. I am a wealth warrior right now. I'm focused on the service that produces income. And I'm also increasing the strength, energy, and fitness of my body right along with it. It all goes together. It's all one big game. It's all one big Olympics. So when I want to make the shift from worrying, fearing, being paranoid, doubtful, I want to make that shift up to warrior. And I want to go to war, the spirit of going to war. Then I want to look at, what are the thoughts that are making me worry? Those are just thoughts. That's all those are. And I want to take a very deep breath, do what I need to do. Hit the punching bag, run around the block, jump in the pool and get right out, breathe deeply, sing a song, and then start brand new and say, I'm going to use my imagination now to brainstorm my next actions for creating prosperity. And I want to clean off my whiteboard, one of my whiteboards anyway, and start throwing ideas up there. Next action, next action, next action. And then circling one and then doing it, calling a person or visiting a person, and really be action-oriented. And that's the warrior mindset. And that's what really produces wealth, as opposed to dropping down to my lowest mood, believing all my thoughts, and worrying. Worrying actually is a negative feedback loop in which it produces the very thing that I first just imagined. Because the more I worry about something, the less resourceful I am, the less energy I have, and now living in a low resource, low energy state actually has me not produce much. I don't create the relationships I would have. I don't make the communication I could have. I don't serve like I might have. And what happens is my wealth does go down. So the very thing I'm worrying about, I bring about. And later I'll say, well, I was right to worry. I was correct to worry. Because look, I was right. It was a bad month. It was a bad quarter. I did lose a lot of money. So the worrying really was an accurate, justifiable thing to do. And what I don't see is the worrying actually participated in and helped make happen the very thing I was worried about to begin with. And when I was first worried about it, they were just figments of my imagination produced by thoughts that were floating around. But I made it real by staying down at that low level of worry. I want to rise up. I want to go to war. I want to create prosperity. A final aspect of the wealth warrior, someone who goes to war, is this. It's the samurai idea of dying before you go into battle. It's so important to be willing to do that. Now, the samurai swords people would learn mentally to die before the battle, and therefore they wouldn't worry about dying when they fought. Now, not worrying about dying when they fought made them better fighters because they could dance, they could be intuitive, they could jump around, they were more flexible, they were more playful, and therefore they were safer. They weren't all clenched up, they weren't an easy target, they weren't fearful. So the same is true in any money-making situation. If I think I have a customer, if I think I have a client, I want to mentally not have that customer and be okay with it. I don't care if I get this client. In fact, in my mind, I don't have this client. I've already lost this client. And if I come from that mindset of dying before I go into battle, of I've already lost this client, then what happens then is I'm a lot freer to tell the truth. I'm a lot less fearful. In fact, I'm fearless in what I say and how I serve. And the client is actually now more likely to work with me. The customer is actually more impressed with a really truthful salesperson than someone who's trying to sell them and so fearful that they'll lose the sale, that the customer gets suspicious or feels creepy or feels pushed and the customer leaves. So dying before you go into battle is another way of saying, I don't care. I may need money, but I don't need your money. If I don't make this deal with you, I'll have the money come from somewhere else. I'll move on. I'll connect with someone else. Because what I'm beginning to believe in is me and my increased strength and ability and skills. And therefore, I don't need your money. So I have died before going into battle. I don't need you. I don't need your money. I just want to serve you if I can. So let's find out whether I can. And I'll tell you as much truth as I can. And I'll answer all your questions. And I'll find out what you really need. And if what I have is not what you need, I'll tell you. You don't have to figure that out. And that approach is so powerful in connecting with other people because they realize right away that you're telling them the truth and they can trust what you say. And you make so many more sales that way by not caring if you sell, dying like the samurai warrior before you go into battle. There are no worries. There are no fears. There's just creativity, playfulness. It becomes a dance. And you're so much more successful from that position.